All right, turn your Bibles to the book of John chapter 21. John chapter 21. The seed of this message began to come to me a couple days ago, and I've struggled over the preparation of it on exactly how to put together what it is that I want to say. I want you to think tonight, though. It's a little different type of message, and I want you to think tonight. Are you saying, preacher, we don't have to think most of the time when you preach? Well, a lot don't think when I'm preaching, but I want you to think tonight. I want you to think on purpose tonight. I want you to notice in this passage, it's a very familiar passage of Scripture, John chapter 21, beginning at verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. I want to ask you tonight, do you love Jesus? And I want you to think about it tonight. Do you love Jesus? Now, I don't know if anything like this has ever come out of your mouth. I love my car. Have you ever said something like that? I love my car. How about, Brother Ross, have you ever said, I love hamburger? Have you ever said that? You love it. What's another food you would love? Tacos? All the Spanish film up here just got you hungry for tacos, didn't it? All right. See, love tacos. Anybody else here love tacos? Raise your hand. You love tacos. All right, very good. How many here love pizza? Would you raise your hand for that? How many just love food, period? Raise your hand. Okay, a whole bunch of people like that. I ask you, do you love Jesus? I ask you, do you love tacos? Do you love pizza? What's the difference? There is a difference. There should be a difference. There should be a dramatic difference. In the story that we read tonight, we find two different words for love mentioned in the passage. Of course, it's the same English word. I know when I was studying English years ago, and I found out that a lot of it depends on which country the person is from that you're talking to in Spanish as to which phrases they like to use. Like, for instance, I could say, I love you by saying, me gusta usted. I love you. I could say, te amo. I love you. Or I could say, te quiero. I love you. It can be translated that. Now, there can be other translations like me gusta, it pleases me, or it can be I love it, or amar, or can be te amo, I love you, and then you got te quiero, which is often used by some people to express love. Well, in the Greek that God gave us here in this passage, we find Jesus asking Peter, do you love me? And he used the word, and you've heard the word before, agape. Basically, and when I say basically, it's not always this way in your New Testament, but basically it's talking about a God type of love, divine love. And Jesus asked him that question, do you love me? It's like, do you love me supremely? And Peter answered back with a different word. He answered back with the word phileo. We get our word Philadelphia from that. Being a friend, he said, I phileo you, Lord. And remember now, Peter had just a few days before extremely disappointed himself. He had bragged how he'd be willing to die for Jesus that night, and he wasn't lying about that. You remember when they first came to arrest Jesus, Peter got out his sword and started hacking away. So it wasn't that he was a coward. But when Jesus told him to put up his sword, he couldn't fight. Well, then he just kind of slunk off or slinked off. I'm not sure what the that tense of slink is. But anyway, and he ended up denying the Lord three times. So now he sees Jesus, and Jesus asks him the question, Peter, do you love me? Agape love. And he says, I love you. Jesus asks him again, do you agape me? Do you love me? With the God type of love. And he says, I phileo you. I love you. But then the third time, Jesus changed the word that he used. He said, Peter, do you phileo me? The Bible says that Peter was grieved when he asked him the third time using the word phileo. And Peter, after having been defeated. Now, Jesus, I believe in this passage, is restoring him. He says, I phileo you. You know, he's gotten humble. He's not bragging now. But it bothers him that he doesn't love Jesus like he should love Jesus. Does it bother you that you don't love Jesus like you should love Jesus? Now, we use the word differently as well, the word love. Like I said, we can use it and say, I love football. I love hamburger. I love tacos. I love my car. I love my house. I love my yard. I love my dog. And then we say, I love Jesus. And what is the difference? Because all of these other things really have the connotation, I love that because it does something for me. I love hamburger because it tastes good and it makes a meal enjoyable. I love steak because, again, it does something for me. I do nothing for the steak. I just eat it. I do nothing for the car. It just has a bunch of things that help me to make my life easier. I don't really do something for the house. What I do for the house is basically just for me. But what about our love for Jesus Christ? Because when you start talking about this kind of love, he gives us a definition, and it is not emotion. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave sacrificially. He gave of himself. The definition of loving, this is an action verb. He so loved that he gave. It was not just a feeling. It was that which is translated into action. As somebody said, that you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Ephesians 5:25. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He loved the church. He gave him. Oh, I love my church. I love my church. What do you mean by that? Well, I've got friends at the church. It makes me feel good to be at the church. I love my church. Okay, but do you love your church? What are you doing for your church? If we're, as Jesus loved the church, if we were loving the church like Jesus loved the church, we would be giving of ourselves for it. Now, to be sure, we have lots of people that do that in a number of different ways. But it's so easy because we misuse the word love all the time. It's so easy to lump it all together and forget that real love requires something of us. On purpose to do. And when we stop doing, we have stopped loving. I'm not talking about feeling. We stop giving. We have stopped loving. Yeah, there may be things that please me and that I like. Paul would write in Galatians 2:20, who loved me and gave himself for me. That is an action definition. Now, that's the kind of love God wants us to know. Keep your hand here. Turn over to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I want you to get this about love. Brother Joe just sang about God's love for us. And definitely a giving love. And the scripture says in 1 John that we love him because he first loved us. In other words, we loved him because he first did something for us. We did nothing for him. Nothing. And we end up all too often with the shallowest type of love that's just simply a feeling in our heart that doesn't translate into doing anything. That's a problem. But notice in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19, the scripture says, "And to know the love of Christ," look at this, "which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." He's talking about knowing a love that's far deeper than loving a hamburger, or loving a car, or loving your house, loving your city, or loving your country. There are a lot of people who claim to love their country, but they don't do anything. Hey, we've got a lot of veterans here. You loved your country enough, you joined up, you served, you put time in, you put part of your life, you're willing to sacrifice your life even for it. Ah, now we're talking about love on purpose. On purpose. He says to know, it is love in action, the giving of yourself. This is the kind of love that is tangible. So for instance, since we have the scripture and I already quoted it, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. So if I was to say to you, do you love your wife? Now, most any man, if his wife's in hearing distance, is going to say, of course I love my wife. Okay, how? What are you giving of yourself for her? I mean, the Bible tells us, husbands and wives, we have a responsibility to meet one another's needs. And a lot of men are totally oblivious to the needs of the wife. I'm talking about her emotional needs, her needs of security and things like that. If you love as Christ loved the church, then there is going to be a giving of yourself in the meeting of her needs. Now, I don't know if you've gotten this or not, but women are different than men. Now, we can ask that question today because all over this country, there are a lot of people who don't realize there's a great difference, and it's not just physical. They are different than men emotionally. They think different. Did you ever get in an argument? And what you find out is you're talking about two totally different things. They're arguing on this level. You're arguing on this level. And you, why can't you see it? She's wondering, what's wrong with you? Why can't you see it? Isn't that right? Amen. All right. So when I ask the question, do you love Jesus? What are you doing? If I was to ask you, do you love Jesus? Okay, how? What are you doing for Jesus? You say, I'm reading my Bible. That's for you. Okay. How are you serving Jesus? How are you living for Christ? What are you sacrificing for Jesus? Do you love Jesus? I've referred to that bumper sticker I saw years ago, honk if you love Jesus. Everybody has seen that. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. So somebody had a bumper sticker that had honk if you love Jesus, and there was a big X through the honk, and then written over that was tithe, if you love Jesus. Anybody can honk. Now, what are you doing? What is a demonstration of your love for Jesus Christ? Because if there's not a giving of yourself, then you're not loving. I could love fishing. But if I love fishing, it would simply be because it gave me enjoyment. I don't do anything for fishing. Most fishermen don't do anything for fishing except take fish out of the lake so that nobody else can catch it. And every fisherman I know wants to catch the biggest fish in the lake. Isn't that right? You don't want to save it for somebody else. You want the blessing of catching the biggest fish in the lake. I do nothing for it. You do nothing for it. I might love golf. It gives me enjoyment, but that's the whole point. It gives me enjoyment. I do nothing for golf. I do nothing for golf. Matter of fact, some people say if I really love golf and wanted to do something for it, I'd quit golfing. I love my church. But how is your love for your church different than your love for McDonald's? or IHOP, or Zaxby's, or Casablanca? How is it different? I'm wanting you to think tonight. I'm wanting you to get a hold of it about your love. I don't want you to confuse the term, how it's used. Think about it. Do I really love Jesus? There is both the responsibility and the sacrifice of this kind of love. Now, you're in Ephesians, so go over to chapter 5. In chapter 5, he says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Now, look at this. "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." He's telling us, he says, I want you to walk in love. I want you to walk in the kind of love that Christ had. Now, the world doesn't get that. They don't get it at all. When the world thinks of love, they think of sex. That's the world. And so you've got a lot of perversion out there, even with regards to Christianity. And people are all messed up in their doctrine because they don't understand one of the very key words that's in our Bible. And that's this matter of love. So he lets us say, I want you to walk in the love that Christ had. We're not talking about walking around with a feeling. We're not talking about walking around with goosebumps. We're not talking about walking around with something syrupy. We're talking about something that moves you to be willing to give of yourself, to sacrifice, that kind of love. So if you love him, let me give you a number of things. Number one, you will obey him. I already quoted the verses from John chapter 14. As a matter of fact, in verse 24 of John chapter 14, he says, "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings." He makes it very plain. If you don't obey me, you don't love me. Right. And if you really love me, you will obey me. So do you love Jesus? Are you obeying him? As a matter of fact, turn over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. We have a similar statement here made by the Apostle John. Notice he says, beginning in verse 2, "By this we know the love, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments." And then here's the definition verse, "For this is the love of God." What? That we keep his commandments. "And his commandments are not grievous." He said, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Now, there are a lot of Christians who would say they love Jesus, who would sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," and they would even close their eyes and wave their hands back and forth and feel like they're doing something for the Lord. And they've done nothing. They don't obey him. His commandments are odious to them. His commandments, they think, bring them into bondage and into judgment. Yet Jesus didn't feel that way about God's commandments. He obeyed them. But there are a lot of people who say they're saved today. They want to be delivered from the commands of God. Go over to 2 John. In 2 John, verse 5, "And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandment. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it." So this is a love that moves to action. It's not a passive love. It's not I'm sitting there and feeling good about it, or I got warm and fuzzies feeling about it, but I'm doing something. It moves me. The Apostle Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, "For the love of Christ constraineth me, or chapter 5, verse 14. The love of Christ constrains me. It moves me. And if you want to see how it moved him, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23, he begins that long list of the things that he had suffered for Christ. Most of us would have quit after the first three things on the list. But he just kept going. He ends up in prison in Rome, ends up getting his head chopped off. Why was he willing to do all that? Because he loved Jesus. It moved him to the ultimate sacrifice. That's why the Apostle Paul could write, because of his love for Jesus. The Apostle Paul could write, and he said, "Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death." That's how much he loved him. There's no rebellion in this kind of love. There is a love for him that, "Lord, whatever I can do, I just want to serve you. Whatever it cost, it makes no difference." Turn back to John. In John chapter 15. And go to beginning in verse 9. John chapter 15 and verse 9. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Now again, he's talking about this kind of love that moves us to give of ourselves for others. He says, and by the way, here's the reason why his joy is not in a lot of Christians. Because we don't love him. We don't love his commandments. We don't love his word. For too many people who claim to be saved, and I'm not doubting their salvation, I am doubting their love for Jesus, that to be walking in obedience is just an absolute drudgery. There's a major problem with that kind of love. He says, "My Father will love you. I will love you." Now, he's loved us first already, and he's proven that. If you want to know the depths of that, though, then you need to love him back. And not just a feeling, but action. But then that brings to mind the tragedy of a changed love. When you begin to understand God's definition of love, the kind of love that he's talking about, God's love, Christ's love, the same type of love that we're to have for him, then Revelation chapter 2 takes on a fuller meaning. So I want you to turn there. It's not an unfamiliar passage of Scripture. I've referred to it numbers of times. But let's keep ourselves with God's definition of love. And when we do, we'll understand more about what Jesus is saying to this church at Ephesus. He says, "Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Now, before we read any further, let's stop here. He said, "Well, preacher, the things that you just read there seem to describe their love for him in action." And to be sure, if you have the right kind of love for him, it will be seen in action in all these things that we just read. But do you know you can do all the action and not love him anymore? He wants it to be not out of the heart of duty, but out of the heart of love. In other words, the act is an act of love because it's coming from a heart that loves Him. Do you realize that there are some people whose main motive behind doing right is it makes them feel good? It makes them feel good to do right. Doesn't it? Have you ever... I know lost people that will go visit a church sometimes. They'll drop a wad of cash in the offering plate, not because they love God, not because they love that church, but simply because it made them feel good to do it. There are people who watch some of those TV ads of, orphan children, and they'll get on there and they'll obligate themselves for $39.95 a month for the rest of their life because that takes care of a child. We'll send you a picture of that child that you've never met, never will meet. Same picture we've sent to 1,000 other people. And they send it not because they love children. They send it because it makes them feel good. Hey, look what I'm doing. Isn't this wonderful? There are some people that want to do things in church because they feel better. Now, feeling good is a product of doing it out of a heart of love. But if feeling good is the motive, then what you're doing is you're doing it for yourself. So he says to these people, he said, you're still doing everything, but your problem is you've left your first love. It's not because you love me. You're doing it for you. All right, verse 4. He said, or verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Remember when you did what you did because you loved Jesus. And in loving Jesus, that doing was simply the automatic product of love for Him. By the way, that will keep you going when everybody else sits down and stops working because you love Him. That'll keep you going when the very people you're trying to serve don't really appreciate you doing it. When the people you've helped and then they end up gossiping about you or run you down to other people. That'll keep you going if your love is in the right place. It should be because of our love for Him that we're doing this. So he says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. And then he uses that very harsh word, repent. Now, I love the word repent. I love the word repent because it's a Bible word. And I think we ought to love Bible words. I don't think we ought to shy off of the word repent. It's a good word. It is interesting, though, that in our Bible, the word repent is used far more for saved people than it is for lost people. There are things that saved people need to repent of. And if your love for Him is waning and you're just simply doing things out of duty, you're no longer doing it because of your love for Him, then friend, you need to repent. And then he says, and do thy first works. Now I know that there can be times in the service of the Lord that you get weary. Nothing wrong with being weary. I know of parents, because of their love for their children, when their children were in the hospital and their illness was very serious, they would sit in the hospital, they'd be there all night. Every time their child would turn around, they're waking up too. They hadn't had a good night's sleep in days. But they don't mind it. You know why they don't mind it? Because they love that child. I mean, it might be different. I don't know. I've never been a nurse. It might be different for some nurses who get kind of tired when they have to have an extra, maybe even two shifts in a row because another nurse doesn't show up for work that night or is unable to come, and they fill in and they get weary. But that's really a job. It's not like the parent who stays there and is willing to stay up however many shifts are needed because of their love for the child. But see, only you can know that about your heart. Only you and Him. Where's your heart at tonight? I was thinking of those dear ladies during VBS, working there in the kitchen. And Now, I'm sure there were a number of people that said thank you, but I would dare say there were probably far more people that went through those lines every day that never even gave any kind of a thankful grunt whatsoever toward the many, many hot hours they spent in that kitchen. You know, but for those who were doing it simply because they loved Jesus, that didn't change what they did. And the reason it didn't, because they were doing it because they loved Jesus. And you know, whatever you do for Jesus in love, he appreciates. Evidently, according to this, what you do for Jesus without love, he doesn't. You got that? Matter of fact, he even tells this church, he says, repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. And the candlestick is simply the church. It's defined for us at the end of chapter 1. So the question tonight again is, do you love Jesus? You say you love Jesus, and he says, prove it. Or do you just love him like you love hamburger? Or do you love him like you love your dog? Or do you love him like, do you love him supremely? Is that where your heart's at? Loving him. If it is, that's where your actions will be. People who have trouble making it to church, I can tell you what the problem is. It's a love problem. It's a love problem. When you fall in love with him, I can't think of any other place to be. I love being in the house of God. I love being with God's people. I love church. We go on vacation. We don't take a vacation from God. I go to church. We go to Sunday school. We go to midweek service. We just want to be in church. We love God's people. We love God's house. We love the church. We want to serve him. We want to be faithful to him. We want to be a good testimony for him. Now, I confess that the message of Revelation chapter 2 is one that brings me under conviction, has a number of times in my spiritual life. It's kind of like what Jesus asked Peter. Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me? The God-like love. And Peter says, no, I'm not going to brag again. I phileo you. I like you a lot. I have great affection for you. Notice what he said. If that's the case, Peter, feed my sheep. Do something. If you love me, do something. If you love me, serve me. Do something. You see, there is that responsibility that comes with real love. So the question tonight, do you love Jesus? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And right now, what I want you to do with your head bowed, eyes closed, I want you to ask the Lord, do I love you, Lord? I don't want you to tell him you love him. I want you to ask him, do I really love you, Lord? When you see my love, Lord, does it please you? I'm talking about love in action. Love that causes us to serve. Do I love you, Lord? And if you're one tonight who would have to say, you know, it is not like it used to be, and that's my fault, I don't like what my real answer is about, do I love him? Preacher, God's dealing with my heart tonight about my love. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up, child of God? Would you do that? All over the auditorium. All over the auditorium. I understand. Been there? Who hasn't? Been there. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I pray for you here in a minute. We have the invitation. Why don't you come and say, Father, you said I'm to remember and I'm to repent and do my first works. Lord, I want to love you again like I used to. And I'm going to love you in action. Father, many hands were raised tonight. And I pray that each one desires to have love, that fire love that moves them to serve you, to sacrifice for you. I pray, dear God, they would renew some things in their lives for your glory. May they respond in the invitation, I pray. Father, if there's one here without Christ, never been saved, obviously they couldn't love him until they know him. I pray they'd come to Jesus and be saved tonight. Bless in the invitation, we ask in Jesus' name.